Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to the latest Flyers Talk podcast. I am Jordan Hall, and as always, I am joined by the wonderful Brooke Destra. Brooke, Danny Briere, and John Tortorella had their end of the season press conferences last Friday, so we're going to get into a ton of the topics that they addressed. Brooke, the first one I think that people really realized was both Danny Briere and John Tortorella said the Flyers have a long ways to go. They are far off. How did you feel about that when the team played a meaningful game 82 and came just short of the playoffs?
Yeah, I think it was something that I was relieved to hear, because I think a lot of people had like a sense of fear almost, where if they found a way into the playoffs, does that kind of shift the whole narrative of this team moving forward, like the offseason plans, the plans of rebuilding? And they kind of just made it very clear that even if they did make it into the playoffs, and it was kind of funny that Tortorella thought, you know, even if we made it in, they didn't see it going very far. Mm-mm. So being fully aware of the situation is great. But I think that just hearing it from your head coach and your general manager that, yeah, it doesn't take away from what we are still planning to do. And I think that that was really reassuring, especially, you know, just a week out of the regular season.
Yeah, Danny Briere is really stuck with the future narrative. He is not changed his stands at all in the rebuild. He reiterated it throughout the season that the plan has not changed. The eyes are still in the future. He backed it up at the trade deadline. So I did not expect that to change. I think internally the Flyers believe they are close to a playoff team, but that does not mean they are going to be a contender year in, year out yet.
Yeah.
I think that is what the plan is, that they are far away from being a legit contender year in and year out. So I do believe the Flyers think they can be a playoff team, but that doesn't mean, as you mentioned, Brooke, that they would be winning series and
right.
contending.
You could be a playoff team, but you may not be the contender. I think that's way to phrase it, Jordan Hall.
Yeah.
That's the best way to phrase it.
Brooke, I wanted to ask, do you think some fans are going to start to lose some patience at some point? I mean, I wonder how long they can continue to push the narrative of we are far ways away. I mean, John Tortorella said it from day one when he arrived here. He's been here 2 years now. He's going into his third season. How long can they continue to run out this theme of we're far away when they've missed the playoffs in four consecutive years? So, like, do people eventually get impatient with a rebuild?
I think that they still have a significant leash on the situation, mainly because we spent the last decade feeling like, oh, we're 2 to 3 years away from being 2 to 3 years away. Like, mm-hmm. I think that is engraved into every Flyers fan's brain throughout the 2010s. And I think, again, just something so simple as what they did last season is acknowledge the fact that they are rebuilding. It's not, we're going to go in and compete with what we have and we just need to add a piece here or there and we're good to go. Like, they were consistent this entire year, is that, yes, we are going to perform and compete and do the best that we can with what we have, but we still have ways to go. So it's the first full year of being under this rebuild. And I think that fans respected it. I was really curious after, you know, game 82 against the Caps, what the response was going to be with fans. And It was overall very positive. Like, people were like, a meaningful game 82, never would have seen this coming in mm-hmm. September. And I think that people just respected the fact that they fought hard game in and game out. And surprised a lot of fans in the process. So them playing the way that they did, I think drew a lot of people back in and really kind of just earned a level of trust, I think, with the team in the front office that was lost for a very long time. So I think that's one of the biggest takeaways, is that I think people are going to let them play this out. You know, if it's 3 years down the road from now and we're still having this conversation, different story. But after one successful season, I think fans are going to let them play it out as it happens.
I think a lot of people are starting to compare it to Ron Hextall's time here. Hextall did not like the word rebuild, but he was very future-centric. I think what the difference is Hextall had a core that was established here, and it wasn't getting any younger, and he didn't seem to totally supplement that core when they had a chance to. He always had this future-oriented vision, but here wasn't a core that like needed to win now before it got too old. The Flyers are different here. I think they've emphasized a lot of youth, and they've backed it up. They've played younger players. They have a young nucleus, a lot of guys 25 and younger, and they're going to get younger, I think. So that to me is the difference, where the Flyers have a little more leash here, because they have focused on a lot of young assets, and they have a big one potentially coming in 2 years in Matvei Michkov. So I see the difference there.
Michkov.
And I think a lot of fans are going to be chanting that name and following him, Brooke, and maybe hoping and crossing their fingers that somehow he can come over sooner. But Briere said at the exit day that as of right now, they're operating on that he still has to play out his contract, which is two more years in the KHL.
Fine. And I think everybody expected that right from the draft.
Yeah.
But my God, I just think about like the whole past decade. And I say this all the time, Giroux's time in Philly was completely squandered by the fact that you had two generational talents in the Metropolitan with Sidney Crosby and Alex Ovechkin. I think Giroux would have had so much more respect around the league if he wasn't always going against these top names. So I would like to say that the Flyers are due for that kind of player, that kind of talent where, you know, people tune in like around the league for the Flyers, where they're like, oh, we got to watch Michkov play. We got to watch Michkov. That's what I want. I want the Flyers to be the team that gets that top end talent, and they are the talk of the league. So I will wait happily for 2 years if he comes over and is everything that he is projected to be.
Yeah, I think it's worth waiting for Matvei Michkov. Absolutely. I do think, Brooke, next season will be a telling season, because whether the Flyers want to admit it or not, Tortorella and Briere can say as much as they want that, hey, we're a ways away. They sped things up a little bit, especially in a lot of fans' eyes. They came, you know, their season ended on the final day of the regular season. So they definitely sped things up, and I think some people are going to be expecting them to get close to the playoffs. Briere even admitted he thinks the expectations for a lot of people will be playoffs because of how close they got.
Yeah.
So
I don't expect regression next year. And I think that is the biggest takeaway. Like, I don't think that this was just a one kind of impressive fall short, you know, just shy of the postseason. And then, you know, next year is how they were projected to be this season. You know, like I think that they take what they've learned from this season and grow. So That's a positive for me.
Yeah. Celebrity cook Steve Martorano brings his Italian-American cooking back home to Philly. Enjoy Martorano's Prime at Rivers Casino and Steve's famous meatballs with Sunday gravy, prime steaks, and more. Make reservations for Martorano's Prime on Open Table. Brooke, another thing that kind of stood out from the comments of John Tortorella and Danny Briere, particularly Briere, he said the plan right now is to go into next season with Samuel Erickson and Ivan Fedotov as our goaltending tandem. As we all know, that tandem was a rookie tandem that finished the season. They were tied, the Flyers, as they played five goalies, and they were tied with the Senators for the worst save percentage in the league this season. So how do you view the goaltending plan? Do you like that they're going to go with those two as of right now? Or would you expect them to maybe go for a guy with a little more experience to pair with Erickson?
It's interesting. I think that you fully let Fedotov play next year, if I'm being honest. Everything that he went through, all the waiting and anticipation for a player that you never even thought might be able to come and play for Philadelphia now has this opportunity. And I think that the Flyers recognize that and want to give him the chance to be like, you have waited, you have worked, let's see what you're capable of doing. And I think that that's where the contract comes in. And toward the end of the year, I think Ersin got a lot of heat for, you know, kind of falling off here or there. And people needed to remember the fact that he is a rookie. He still has these growing pains, these learning curves as any, you know, rookie across the league. But goaltending specifically, you know, adapting to the speed and the pacing of NHL, it's one of the craziest positions to play in sports across the board. So I think that there was a bunch, like a big learning curve with that for Ersin. And I think it's interesting, I guess, to see how young the dynamic is, because if it works out, you have this incredible tandem that are both, you know, younger guys that could, you know, possibly benefit the Flyers. But I think maybe you wait until next year, you kind of, you sign a like a vet on a low risk kind of contract in the off season. I mean, Danny Briere also said that they're not going to be very heavy into free agents this year, so don't expect to get any kind of big name signings. But yeah, you kind of ride it out. I think that both players have earned the right to see what they can do, see if they're capable of locking down those spots. So I'm happy for them both. And I think that with that, I want your opinion.
I get the sense that they're really looking to stay young in net. I think they've drafted and developed a lot there. As long as Fedotov took to get here, he is here, and maybe they feel like it's his time to see if he can kind of sink or swim at this level. And they might not view him, Brooke, as super young. I mean, he turns 28 in November.
Yeah.
So maybe they view him as a guy that, yes, is an experience NHL wise, but professionally he's played a ton in the KHL. He's got a silver medal, excuse me, at the Olympics. So he's, you know, been accomplished, and I think they're ready to see what he can do. I think it'll be just very interesting to how he can complement Samuel Ersin. I think everyone believes he played too much Ersin this season.
Absolutely.
He played too much down the stretch.
Absolutely.
He played very well when he was in a balanced tandem with Carter Hart. Now, can Fedotov provide that balanced tandem? Will be very interesting to see, because I thought they struggled to get saves a lot down the stretch, and we saw their season kind of spiral and they struggled to get saves.
Yeah.
Will they be able to get saves early in the season, and will that prevent them from experiencing any long skids early in the season? Because as John Tortorella mentioned towards the end of the year, they missed Carter Hart. That threw a major wrench into their season.
Yeah.
And then we do not know when or if Hart will ever play for the Flyers again. Of course, he's involved with the Hockey Canada sexual assault case, and there does not appear to be any light at the end of that tunnel. So the Flyers are very much operating with Ersin and Fedotov moving forward, but they do, Brooke, have Alexei Kolosov, who I think they are very high on, a lot of upside there. A guy that they drafted, I think in 2021, if I remember correctly, third round pick, that they are high on. And right now he's with the Phantoms, and he'll be here in North America that next season as well. But I'm okay with it, Brooke. I just think it could get interesting early in the season if it looks like Fedotov can't spell Ersin enough, and then Ersin ends up playing too much, and before you know it, you have big questions in net. So, Brooke, another topic that I think has a ton of fans' attention, probably for the wrong reason, is that power play. It's always the power play in Philadelphia. It seems like it's always goaltending in the power play in Philadelphia.
Death taxes the Flyers' goaltending situation and the power play.
That's right.
That's literally it.
The power play finished last in the league for the Flyers by a lot. It was 12.2%, and it's been an issue now. And an issue
my whole life.
Yeah, right? Have spanned your whole life, Brooke. But it's definitely an issue that preceded Rocky Thompson. He was in his second season overseeing the power play. The year before he got here, in his defense, it was 12.6. It was also last in the NHL. So it has not gotten better, but it was definitely an issue before he got here.
But for it to get worse?
Not great.
I mean...
And he even admitted when he was actually operating with Brad Shaw as the team's coaches overseeing the bench when John Tortorella was suspended, he held his post-game media availability, and he said, well, the power play has stunk. So yeah. he admitted it. I think he's been accountable there. But Brooke, John Tortorella did say it does not sound like they are going to make a change there. They're going to keep Rocky Thompson, but they want to be more collaborative this offseason. They're going to have a lot of discussions, and they're going to include a lot of other people, the folks like Patrick Sharp, Danny Heatley, John LeClair.
I mean, even Danny Briere. One of the best power players that the city has ever seen.
Yeah.
You know?
So how do you feel about that approach? Do you think they can collaborate and get things going in the right direction with Rocky Thompson still running the show when the season starts?
I sure hope so.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, if the Flyers had maybe a dozen more power play goals this season, they probably would have made it into the playoffs, if I'm being honest. Like, that might have been able to steal a game or two from them. And then you're not, you know, panicking at game 82. So you can only hope that it goes up. But even with a change in the coaching over that time, and there is a lot of speed and a lot of talent on this team. So in terms of like there being such a significant disconnect is one of the more, and in a crazy season that we've had, it is one of the more mind-boggling things to kind of sit and process just why it never worked. And there was a stretch where maybe they scored like it was like five consecutive games. It was something, you know, it was during the Winnipeg, the road trip, where we were just like, okay, like they're figuring it out. Like, this is going to be great. It's at a point in the season where, you know, it could kind of help bring some sort of relief to this team. And then it was, you know, another crash and burn situation. So I just don't know, Jordan.
I know.
It's one of the biggest question marks.
Yeah.
Going into this year, I like the fact that they're open to trying new things. And I think that the whole collaboration aspect of it's really interesting. But that's really all I can kind of sit on right now is, you know, you can talk the talk. Can you walk the walk? Yeah. You're not going to be able to make a valid assessment on if things are working until maybe November, December next year. So it's like a wait and see. I hope we're pleasantly surprised.
I felt it was good, Brooke, that John Tortorella admitted that it shouldn't have been as bad as it was with the personnel they had.
Yeah.
I feel like we've seen in past where it's kind of pinned on personnel. Like, oh, well, we don't have enough power play guys in the system here. This is what we're trying to draft and develop. But they had some personnel, bro. Okay. They have Owen Tippett, who's one of the faster guys in the league, who flirted with 30 goals. They have Tyson Forster, who we've heard so much about his shot from that area that the Flyers need help in. So
I think once Drysdale comes back and
Drysdale
he's running the
here.
Point,
yep.
You know, it's...
They were not lacking personnel, but perhaps they were lacking chemistry. They didn't have guys that have been here, like the Drews and the Voracheks and the Couturiers and the Simmons that have been doing it for a long time together.
Yeah.
So I would agree that, yeah, it lacked chemistry, but there's some talent on the power play, and it should not have been as bad as it was. And I thought it was good that Tortorella admitted that. Brooke, if anything, I have no problem that Rocky Thompson will be running it moving forward going into next season. I do think that the issues have been there before his time. But I do think, if anything, the Flyers admitting that they're going to incorporate different voices is a sign that there's some pressure and some heat on his seat. And perhaps if it doesn't improve throughout maybe halfway of next season, the Flyers will think about making a change there. So if anything, I think it's just a sign that, yeah, they're going back to Rocky, but they're going to start listening to some other voices and perhaps see if other people can help. And if it doesn't get better, maybe it does eventually fall on Rocky's shoulders and they will be interested in making a change.
Yeah. And just in terms of expectations, like, nobody is sitting here and saying that they need to come out of the gate and hold a top three power play spot in the league next season. I mean, just get out of 32.
It needs to be better. Exactly.
Like, even if they, and again, I feel like for so long that they've either been in the middle of the pack or the bottom. But I mean, even if they get into like the late teens, early 20s, it's growth. And I think that this team really does feed off of confidence in so many different aspects of their game. And if they start rolling on the power play, then they're going to start, you know, feeling themselves and they're going to be like, okay, like, we are capable of doing this. Let's keep it going. So, yeah, just 10 spots better than what you were. And I will take that as a win.
Yeah,
genuinely. And that is not a difficult ask.
No.
I mean, apparently it is, but
I know, right? But
apparently it is. But
And that's really, Brooke, why goaltending and power plays, like those are two big topics, going into the offseason. Because, I mean, tied for less in save percentage and less in the power play. If those two things are just moderately better, they're probably a playoff team. So, and those are two crucial elements to a team. I mean, goaltending is the most important position in the game, and power play, some of the best teams that go far in the playoffs, they have power plays that take advantage of when they get the opportunities. And I think we all know how tight the games are in the playoffs, and it's the teams that take advantage of special teams that go far, because they take advantage of those breaks where it's not even strength, and it's, you have a man advantage and you need to take advantage of that.
Yeah. Like there's genuinely a running joke this season where the Flyers were going on the power play and you would see all across social media being like, I wish there was an option to opt out of it.
Yeah.
Do you know how bad you have to be?
Not good.
to have people actively root against you wanting to be on a man advantage.
Yeah.
No, I mean, for as exciting as the penalty kill was this year, and it was thrilling, why couldn't you figure it out with the man up rather than like a man down? I mean, obviously, in the terms of like of pacing and spacing for the Flyers, they thrive on like zone entry and penalty kill. But just give me something productive next year.
And they led the league in shorthanded goals. There was times where I, without a doubt, like, genuinely believe when they went on the PK, I had more confidence that they would actually score maybe when they
every
were
time.
On a power play, because it just felt
every
like
time.
Power play, they would have issues. There would be confidence issues. No one really believed they would score when they go on a power play. Mm-hmm. The PK, it was like, hey, let's wait and see. I mean, they've been pretty fun on the PK and they score.
Yep.
That should not be the case.
Would be great to have both, preferably the power play.
Yeah.
But keep it up on the penalty kill too. You know, it's not going to hurt anybody.
No. That is a positive that the PK for the most part was very successful this season. It dipped off a little bit towards the end of the year when they were having so many issues preventing goals, but leading the league in shorthanded goals, they have a lot of guys there that can kill penalties and score a shorthanded power play will be a major point of emphasis, I think, going into next season, Brooke. One of many points that the Flyers are going to highlight and have to try to get better if they want to take the next step. Brooke, one more question for you. I know it's a big overarching question, but what is the next step in your eyes for this team? Is it getting into the playoffs?
That's a loaded question, Jordan. Oh, my gosh.
What would be the next step in your eyes? Would it be playing more young players? Would it be seeing strides in the power play and goaltending? It doesn't have to be perfect, but would it be seeing strides there? Where is it for you?
Yeah, I think as much as you want to think like, you know, grand scheme, big picture, the next step is to make the playoffs, but I don't think you make the playoffs without making these adjustments next year.
Yeah.
So in terms of figuring out the goaltending, in terms of, you know, building up the power play in the smallest amount, like, again, I am not asking for a lot, but in order to make the playoffs, in order to, you know, kind of impose any kind of threat on any, you know, 7-game series against another team, you got to lock down the power play and goaltending. So I think that those are my biggest question marks going into next season, is how it works. And I'm not going in with any doubts with goaltending either. Like, I'm going in very open-minded with Erickson and Fedotov. The power play, on the other hand, is a big concern. So if they lock that down, then maybe my you know, preview for next year is, hey, playoffs. But right now, it's, you got to figure out the little things, because it's the little things that make the teams better. It's the little things that make the teams from good to elite in the league. And you want the Flyers to make that jump. We don't want mediocrity. We want competitive, elite hockey. And if I have to wait 2 to 3 years for it to genuinely happen, I will do that. Yep. Just, we're not beating around the bush. We're not cutting corners. Do it right. And I think that's what the Flyers are going to do.
Yeah, I just would think a positive would be seeing them get better down the stretch. It doesn't have to result in a playoff berth, but as long as they get better down the stretch, the slide this season was concerning. It kind of highlighted some glaring issues where people thought they were a little further ahead in their rebuild, and it kind of brought everyone back to earth a little bit. Mm-hmm. If they get better down the stretch and play better in important games, I think that'd be a real positive. It doesn't have to result in a playoff berth, but get better down the stretch. I'd be okay if they had a slow start and they got better down the stretch. Sure. I think that would be a positive sign for their growth. But yeah, definitely those areas that we've hit on, Brooke, taking strides with their power play, maybe getting some answers in net, I think would be real positive. And seeing a couple more young players kind of permeate the lineup and grab roles, I think would be a nice positive as well for the Flyers. But Brooke, we'll have all this covered moving forward to a busy off season.
Here we go.
Never a dull day. We'll be hitting on a ton of other things moving forward, but we'll have plenty of coverage and discussion over this off season. Brooke, great to see you. Great to chat with you. Thank you so much. As always, a big thank you to Ben Berry, our podcast producer and guru. And Flyers fans, of course, as always, thank you so much for listening to the latest Flyers Talk podcast. Wherever you get your podcast, please rate and listen. And we cannot wait to talk to you next time.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers. But you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.